morning by reading Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And I couldn't think of a better way to start off this morning by singing I Thank God. And those who have been called to his purpose are children. So I think we'll have our children come up on stage. I know they like to sing this song with us up here, but if they haven't been called for his purpose, then I don't know who has. So let's get these kids up here. We're going to start by singing I Thank God this morning, and welcome to your time of worship with the Lord.
Talking to each other. It's a fun time. Don't think we don't see you, Randy. All right, well, good morning, everyone. It is so exciting to see you all. Okay, so I have a whole list of stuff I'm supposed to be reading to you. So to be patient with me, because you know how I get. I'll get off track. And then you got to pull me back in, but that's okay. All right, so T-shirts. Inside the pamphlet thing, we have this little half sheet with a T-shirt form in there. So we are still doing T-shirts. It's running one more week before we put in our order. So if you want a T-shirt to wear to church events, like the fun one that we're having today, that I see some people with those shirts, but you know. Anyway, should I have? Doggone it, I should have said something last week. I should have harassed y'all last week, shouldn't I have? Okay. Anyway, so now that we're thinking about it, we have Yakety Yak events maybe and stuff coming up, so it'd be fun if you guys want shirts. Anyway, the shirts, get them now or forever. Well, we'll do it again, I'm sure. Never mind. Anyway, but do them now so you can have them now. Okay, there's that. We have a celebration of life for Ken Rose, and that's next Saturday, March 1st. Are we needing any volunteers, any help on that? Okay. It's coming together beautifully. Okay, good. All right, beautiful. And then the week after that, Spring Fling, March 8th. It's a Saturday, and we've got lots of stuff going on that day, craft vendor event. The crafts, those are fun things that all of us girls like. And all of you guys, if you don't like it, you should come anyway because you'll see great stuff. I'm just saying. And the kids will be having, this is another reason you should guys come, because you guys can bring your wallets. That's important. All right. The kids will be having a snack shack, and we're going to be doing a fundraiser for our 2025 project, the kids' rooms. We're going to be new and improved. And yeah, I'll get to that in a moment. But anyway, there's that. So everybody come. And we're still looking for volunteers. We've got, you want to serve something in the morning? From 9 to 12. How about in the afternoon? We've got 12 to 3. So there's the. Look, I've already got a hand up. Cindy, we tagged you. You're volunteered.
Deanna.
Deanna's. Yeah.
Deanna's going to head up the kitchen stuff, so if you want to help, you want to help.
And if you don't tell her, she will call you. Don't you worry. Okay. And then there's. My cup runneth over. The study begins the first Sunday of Lent. Those are those books that we passed out. If you need a book, let us know. We have three, and we've ordered more. Ah, okay. I see your hand. I'll hold one. I see two hands. Okay. Oh, gosh, we've got all three of them. Well, let's see. I don't know how we're going to. Pastor, you're going to have to figure that out. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. We've got them right here. All right, hold on. I've lost my, men's breakfast. That is normally on the 1st. It is not. It's going to be on the 15th. So you guys make sure that you wait. Don't come on the 1st. Come on the 15th. And all of us women, you guys want to do something together? I'm up to something. I've got something scheduled. But anyway, the guys will come on the 15th, and they're going to eat. So make sure that you get your guys all ready to go. Scoot them out the door, and then you've got some time just to do whatever it is that you do when the guys aren't home, whatever it is. All right. Easter schedule. It's in the bulletin. We had a minor typo. The last two dates are April, not March. Minor thing, but just because we typed it wrong doesn't mean that it's going to change when Easter is. It's still the same date, okay? Oh, there it is. It's there. See, that's April 13th for Palm Sunday and April 20th for Easter. And there's a breakfast for Easter Sunday, 8:30 in the morning. So there's that. Are we doing anything fun for the kids? Stay tuned. We're doing something fun for the kids. Don't you worry. All right. Easter's good. Okay, baby bottles. We have some up here. Baby bottles are needing to come back like now so we can get them back from whence they came. So fill them up and bring them in. If you brought them in today, you could throw it up here. If you didn't bring it in today, we're still taking them. So bring them in the next time you come to church and give them to somebody. Who's Eileen? No, not Eileen.
They can bring them to the office during the week as well.
Yeah. To the office. Okay. And so, yeah, just bring them in because they really need to get back as soon as possible. And there's Pray and Fast for Life for the 40 days of life. That's the Eileen thing, right? Okay. And then Family Camp is coming June. This is February. I know it sounds like a long ways away, but tomorrow will be June. I'm just saying. So Family Camp, June 6th through the 8th. Guest speaker is Bob Wheeler and his wife, Lynn. Please make sure to call and reserve your cabin soon. It's a first-come, first-served basis. So how does that work? If they run out of cabins, do they not come?
They can tent it.
Ooh. If you want to be in the cabin, you better get on the phone right now. Or you can bring your tent. There you go. You got options. Okay. Now, this is exciting. I don't know if anybody noticed. I'm sure you didn't notice. It's like when a man has been wearing a beard, and then his beard is gone, and you're like, something is different. What is it? So did you walk in today, and did you go, something is different. What is it? Oh, I'm feeling better. I'm feeling brighter. How could that be? Because we had an amazing team of people painting the fellowship area out there. All that painted. Nursery painted. It's beautiful. Hold on. You can hold on. I want to tell you who did it. Come on. Stay with the program. Okay. All right, so Paul was leading us up, Paul Glenny. We had Ken Johnson, the big guy back there. We all know him nowadays. Terry, Dave, Adam, Fred, Flores. We also had Cameron, Katie, Pastor Nicole. We would like to emphasize Pastor Nicole, Terry, and David were down on their knees doing all that masking. I'm telling you, that is not easy. Yes. So now can I get a beautiful round of applause? Woo! Yes, it's beautiful. Good job. You guys did an amazing job. It is beautiful. Basic 8 with a little asterisk in front of it. Yes, the journey begins next Sunday, March 2nd, 8:30 to 9:30 in the morning over there. Please get your
studies from Pastor Nicole.
I have glasses. Put them on, Sherry. Okay, here we go. That's so much better. Woo! Okay, so please get your studies from Nicole today, and that way you can complete week 1 before Sunday. So that's our goal. You're going to get your books. You're going to read them, and then when you go in next Sunday, you'll be all ready to talk about it for that hour that you have, okay? And that goes really fast. We've been doing the membership class, and it goes quickly. So anyway, there you go. Now am I done? I'm done.
I have one announcement, though. Yeah, is it okay? We have a new baby that was born. Haley and Chris have Drake, right? Baby boy Drake. Can you stand him up and show us, Haley? He's so sweet. So make sure you go and say, oh, your baby's so cute. But don't touch, because the flu season is around. Dear God, thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to give. Thank you for preparing our hearts for worship in this way as we give and you multiply all that we have. What we earn each week is not ours, it is yours, and so we have an opportunity to give that back. God, thank you so much for this day and these people and this fellowship that we have already started today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen.
They're gonna keep doing offering. It has been brought to my attention that somebody has a birthday today. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Elizabeth. Oh, we have a barbecue after church and a sports day. So if you didn't bring your tennis shoes, run home and get them right after church. Bring them back. And I think, is it tackle football? It's flag football. No fun. But we have board games. You get soccer, throw the ball around, kick a ball. Cameron's going to be out there kicking field goals, right? And catching balls. He said he's got his glove already on. So that's today. To kick it off, we're going to sing Happy Birthday to Sweet Elizabeth. And I don't know if anybody remembers this song. I know my sister does. So we're going to sing an old school happy birthday song. And we're going to kick it off. Deanna, start me off. She's...
Happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. Every day of the year, may you find Jesus near. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. And the best year they ever had.
All right. Now that we're warmed up, we're going to stand up and sing Battle Belongs.
Thank you.
So this morning we're going to continue to pray for Cindy and her family and Peggy as she's continued healing. Also, Patricia sent a text to Joyce and said, I need my church family to pray for me. She's got a flu. She's just really not feeling well. She can't kick it. So we're going to pray for her. We also have a praise, though, because Elizabeth's sister had a scan, right? And clear. Free and clear. So that was really exciting. We prayed over her the day before the scan, and we just prayed over Elizabeth for her sister, and it was pretty exciting to get that kind of text the next day. It's like, wow, God, you worked fast. So that was good. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this opportunity to come and be a part of your church family, to fellowship, to pray over one another, even if it's over the phone. We gathered around Elizabeth and just prayed for her sister. That's what a church family does. Thank you, God, for an opportunity to visit Peggy in the hospital and just love on her and care for her. Thank you for Lucinda, who has just such a heart to do that and wrap her arms around people and just love on them. Bring them cards. Thank you for the kids who write the amazing cards to just love on all these people in our church. I pray for Cindy and her family as they are here just getting loved on today. I hope they feel the peace that God brings to them through this church family. Just that continued bereavement as that day comes, that celebration of life for Ken. Lord, I also lift up Patricia for you. She is just not feeling good. She's feeling sick, and she knows that her church family can pray for her and lift her up, and so she reached out and said, please pray for me. So God, we just pray for a healing touch on her body. Just take away whatever is holding on to her, whatever bugs got her, and heal her so she can just continue to do life for you. Lord, we are so thankful that you are God who heals. And we saw that this week as Elizabeth's sister was completely clear in her scan. We are so grateful that she does not have to walk that journey. God, thank you so much for being who you are, because you are good all the time. I just had that conversation this week. Every time someone said, God is good, I had to say it all the time, because you are so good and amazing, and I just get to see your love like crazy. So we give you today in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I saw Jesus. I saw God's love all week. I love being here because I get to see it happen all week long. And I saw men painting and Katie and Cameron scrubbing paint off the floor and just working for God's house, a church body coming together in unity to do that. And then I got to see ideas come together and just grow together in unity. So Savannah said, I want to do name tags. Beautiful. Let's do them. And then Sherry said, I want to do name tags that we can have every week. Beautiful. And then Kelly's like, and I want to organize them. Isn't that amazing? I was just so tickled by that. It was just lovely. And then we were in class today, and we were doing our class, and we were talking about gifts, and they were sharing gifts, and everything they said, I was like, oh, I got a job for you. Oh, I got an idea for you. And isn't that wonderful that we can come and bring all our gifts? Isn't that so cool? I just love that. Anyway, I just had to share that because it was so fun to see all that happen this week. And we have a beautiful church because of it. And just comment, so bright. It's so beautiful. And then Ken changed the light bulbs in a couple of the hallways, and it was like, oh. It's amazing what a light bulb can do. I turned on the light for Savannah, and she said, I've never seen the hallway so bright. It was so good. All right, so this morning I'm going to be talking about the Israelites and making some bricks, and I brought my... If you didn't know, I have a mill, my own mill at home. And I make my own flour. And these are the wheat berries that I use. These wheat berries are soft wheat berries. They're particular for making pie. That's not what the Israelites were doing. They were making bricks. But these are my wheat berries, and I make pie crusts with them, with my little grinder. And I brought these because my daughter and I started watching the show Little House on the Prairie. I love that show. It's so wholesome. You could actually watch it with your kids and not, oh, we better close your eyes, plug your ears. We actually can watch that show. And so here we are. They're in Walnut Creek, and it's the first few episodes, and they have this terrible, terrible storm. It's awful. It's raining, it's hailing, and they're in the cabin, and they're stressing out, and Charles walks out, and he's like, the crop is gone. And Caroline, are you sure we can't use what's there? No, it's gone. And so all the men in the town, not very many of them, but all of them get together, and they leave to go work somewhere, miles and miles away, and all the women are left. And what do? They go to the crop that's flat. I just love this part. This is why I have to share this. And Caroline's sitting there, and she's looking at all this crop that's smashed, and she's like, we can make flour. And so she got all the women of the town together, and she's like, let's all get what's left, which is called stubble, okay? We're going to get all this stubble, and we're going to make these berries. It's super hard work to make wheat berries from stubble because there's not much on the ground left. And so they went, and they made all these wheat berries, and at the end of the episode, there's all these bags of flowers these women have done because they were like, no, we can do this. So all their men went and found work, but they said, we can take what's left of this stubble and make flour, and we're going to do it. So they did. They made the bags of flowers. And I bring this up because the Israelites were having to go through the stubble of the wheat to make bricks after Pharaoh said, hey, you can't have any more hay. So I found this really cool video. Matt's going to play it. It's very short. Of the Israelites making bricks, so you can see how much hay they actually would need to make these bricks.
Finally, we saw a tall Egyptian overseeing the work, and the text says, the rod is in my hand. Be not idle. In the Bible, the children of Israel are beaten for not fulfilling their quotas, and they are told, you are idle.
The bricks they made are still made and used in the same way. Mud is mixed with water, and then both are mixed with chopped straw. And the point of the straw is not only that it binds the brick, but that it prevents the mud from sticking to the builder's hand and the mold from sticking to the ground. So you can see that when the Egyptians refused to supply straw any longer, and yet the Israelites had to supply the same number of bricks, that their work would have taken them more than twice as long. And this was an irritating hardship. And when that type of petty persecution turned to real oppression, then, in the end, the Israelites rebelled and fled. There you can see the straw very plainly.
So you can see those big bushels of hay they had. They needed a lot of hay to make these bricks. And we know the story. And they were collecting all this stubble for the bricks. And the bricks were made of mud, water, and the chopped straw. The straw bound the bricks, and it helped the mud not stick to the brickmaker's hand. So this straw was important. Can you imagine making these bricks every day and then someone saying, hey, you know, the straw we gave you, we're not going to give that to you anymore. You have to go out and get the stubble, what's left. And so the reason why there was only stubble left is because the farmers had already come through. They had already taken all the wheat and put it in storage, in Pharaoh's storage. So God's people had to endure among their enemy. This was something they had to endure. This was stressful. This was exhausting. But they needed to see and understand who Yahweh was in this space. So Pharaoh and the world also needed to see who Yahweh was and who the God of Abraham was. And it was going to get worse before it got better. So let's stand. We're going to read Exodus chapter 5, 15 through 23. If you could please stand as we learn from God's word together. Then the Israelite overseers went and appealed to Pharaoh. Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we're told, make bricks. Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people. And Pharaoh said, lazy, that's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks. The Israelite overseers realized they were in trouble when they were told, you are not to reduce the number of bricks required for you each day. And when they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, may the Lord look on you and judge you. You've made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. Moses returned to the Lord and said, why, Lord? Why have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Dear God, thank you for this word. Thank you for your scripture. Allow us to soften our hearts to hear what you have for us today and bless this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So in verse 15 through 16, we see the Israelite overseers, they're going to Pharaoh to appeal to him about this situation. Why are you treating us this way? Why? You've given us no straw and you want us to make more bricks. How do we do this? And the servants are being beaten for this, something they feel like they can't control. And so the fault, they believe, is of the Egyptians because they've got all the hay in storage and they're having to go and grab all this stubble that's left over. There's just not enough. We can't get there. And so the work is taking them twice as long. And yet the quota has not changed. In verse 17 through 19, Pharaoh calls his Israelites lazy. You don't want to just go worship God. You're doing that because you're lazy. You have too much time on your hands to go worship God. If you're not making bricks, you don't have time to do that. In Exodus 5, 17 through 18, Pharaoh said, lazy, that's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work. You will not be given any straw. You must produce your full quota of bricks. And so Pharaoh does not let them go. They must work and produce what he desires. Now remember, if they are having to go get their own straw, that's why it's making them twice as long to make these bricks, because they're having to send people out to get the stubble. It's taking them longer to do that. Then they have to bring it all the way back to make the bricks. And in verse 20 through 21, they're like, we're done with this. We're going to go talk to Moses and Aaron, because their fault now. May the Lord judge you. And Moses had heard these words before. If you remember, if we rewind a little bit, Exodus 2:14, the man said, who made you judge over us? See, Moses has already tried to help the Israelite people before. Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian? So this is really hitting Moses right here. It's like, ugh, yeah, okay, we've been here before, God. And the Israelites now believe they're obnoxious to Pharaoh. In Exodus 5:21, the four men said to him, may the Lord judge and punish you for making us stink before Pharaoh and his officials. You have put a sword in their hands, an excuse to kill us. You came in here saying you were going to save us, and instead you made Pharaoh more mad at us, and now he really doesn't like us. We stink. They probably already stunk, but now they really stink. What are you doing, Moses? What are you doing, Aaron? So Pharaoh now even has more of a reason to want to kill the Israelite people. So in verse 22, 23, we already talked about Moses is ready to speak to the Lord. Last week we talked, God responds, Moses is ready to share his heart. Well, this time he asks two things. God, why did you bring trouble on these people? And is this why you sent me? Is this why? So why is God bringing all this trouble on his people? Pharaoh was not allowing them to go. But did Moses forget that Pharaoh's heart would be hardened? Jesus had already told Moses, hey, be prepared. This isn't easy. You're walking into something difficult. In Exodus 3:19, but I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. These are the words he was telling Moses before he sent Moses. In Exodus 4:21, the Lord said to Moses, when you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you, the wonders I have given you power to do, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son, and I told you, let my son go, so he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go, so I will kill your firstborn son. God had not rescued his people yet, because God needed time to show himself to not only his people, but to Pharaoh and to the world. Amen. See, God is calling Moses into a very difficult situation. But there's a plan. It will just take time, God's time. Just like in our own lives, we walk through difficulties and we might find ourselves wounded before we see growth, because we live in a broken world. And following God attracts the enemy. The enemy doesn't want Christians to prosper. He doesn't want you to be growing in your faith. And he will use anyone and anything to make us fail. So why does God allow this in our lives? Well, Matthew 5, 44 through 45 says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So we're not exempt. We live in this broken world too. And so part of that covenant that we talk about often is that we're trading enemies with God. Yeah. He's taking on our enemies, and we are taking on his. We're fighting God's enemy. Woo! Yeah. Yikes! Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and the powers of this dark world. Yeah. and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's why that song says we battle on our knees. We battle in prayer. That's our spiritual warfare. And so what happens is when God calls us, sometimes we're wounded in obedience. So what did Moses do first, though? Moses went to God. Would you believe Moses probably felt a little wounded? The Israelite people sure did, because they went to Moses and said, hey, what is going on? And then Moses went to God and said, hey, what is going on? Why aren't we freeing our people? Why isn't this happening? In Exodus 5:22-23, I'm going to use the Amplified version here because they break it down a little bit more. Then Moses turned again to the Lord and said, oh Lord, why have you brought harm and oppression to this people? Why did you ever send me? And I love how they broke this out for Moses. I cannot understand your purpose. How many times have I said that? God, I do not understand your purpose. Why am I here? Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has harmed and oppressed his people, and you have done nothing at all to rescue them. Things are getting worse. We all stink now. Right? Are you thinking in your head something that happened in your life? You're like, yep, God sent me there, but I was wounded. So Moses was open and honest with God, and God desires a truthful conversation with his children. He already knows our hearts, and yet he still calls us to come to him. There's no reason to hide anything from God. And so we speak to God honestly, and Moses allowed God to speak into his life. Because God always has a plan. We step out on this journey with God knowing that he has a plan. In Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So let's take that moment to think back just a bit. We've got the fourth Pharaoh after Joseph in this scripture that Moses is dealing with. 1, 2, 3, 4. This Pharaoh no longer knows Joseph, and he certainly does not know Yahweh, because Yahweh was shown through Joseph. But Joseph isn't around anymore, and we've got pharaohs going past. This Pharaoh no longer knows Joseph. He no longer knows Yahweh. And so we want to show Pharaoh that God has a plan. God is going to save his people, and when he does that, he's going to use that to show Pharaoh who he is. And so this was God's plan in the making. God's people would need to trust him through the difficult times and the times of rejoicing, both times, because the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. And so God did respond to Moses. In Exodus 6:6-8, therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. You see, he's also proving to the Israelite people who he is. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. There's not going to be a question who brought you out and saved the Israelite people. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you as a possession because I am the Lord. Amen. See, we will walk through difficulty as Christians. Just because we are children of God does not mean that we will walk a perfect life. But God will use those moments to show who he is to the broken world among us. Amen. So this morning, you may have found yourself holding on to something that you might blame God for. God, this is your fault. This is your doing. Maybe you've held it on for a really long time, and you're holding it right now, and it's heavy. And I'm going to ask you today to let that go. I'm going to ask you today to trust him that your woundedness in this broken world is against the enemy, God's enemy, not God. And God says, trust me and let it go. Trust me and let it go. Leave it right here because God wants all good things for you because you are his children. Amen. He wants to work with you on this journey. And these moments might feel raw now, but God has so many things to come. And sometimes when we're holding the things that are heavy and we get angry and we blame everybody else around us, God's like, you're still holding that. I can't give you anything good. There's no room left for me because you've got so much anger in your heart and you've hardened your heart like Pharaoh. And God says, what are you doing? I got all the good things. I have them all for you. I want to give them to you, but you've got this other stuff that you're carrying and there's no room for me. You got to let it go. It's easy for us, as my husband always says, to see the trees of the forest that are right in front of us. Because they're so tall, we can't see the whole forest. We can't see from the top. We can't see God's plan. So we must trust in our Heavenly Father to see the whole thing. Amen. Because the trees are tall. We can't see. I definitely can't see over the trees. They're too big. So we must trust God who created all things and knows all things, that he has a plan for us. He has a plan for you. It's not always easy. You're going to get burned. I'm not going to be the pastor that says here, life is good, it's all good, love Jesus, it's all good, we're all cool. That doesn't happen. I can tell you, I have been following Jesus my whole life and I have been burned. Because we live in a broken world, and the enemy does not want you to love Jesus, and he doesn't want you to walk the path that Christ wants. He wants you to fail, and he will use everything he can, any person, anyone, everything, anything he can to make you trip up, because he does not want you to love Jesus. He does not want you sharing God's love out there, and he does not want more people in here. Amen. But God has a plan. All for your good. God has a plan. So I want to leave this with you. When we are wounded obeying God, we may have difficulty trusting. Let's be honest. It's hard sometimes. But God always knows the plan and uses these opportunities to strengthen our faith and show the world who he is. Isn't that so cool? When we're wounded obeying God, like the Egyptians or the Israelites were, we may have difficulty trusting, but God always knows the plan. He knew the plan then, and he knows the plan now, and he used the opportunities of the Israelites to show Pharaoh who he was. And he strengthens our faith now, and he shows the whole world who he is through our life. He's going to say, yeah, you know, this world's broken. You're going to have to walk through that journey, but I will be right next to you. And while you're walking it, I'm going to shine through you like crazy. And your neighbors are going to be like, I don't understand. I don't get it. You just like Carolyn, she lost her whole flock and she brought all her neighbors together. It's okay. We got this. Let's figure out. We can even find the stubble and God will multiply it. And we got bags of flour. See what I'm saying? God uses anything and everything. And there was one lady in that show that was like, grumbling, it's too hard. And Caroline's, it's okay. God gives us all things. Even if it's just a few, he can make a lot. Amen? Amen. God's got a plan. Dear God, thank you so much for your plan. Thank you so much for wanting to do the goodness for us. I am just so grateful for this today, that we could read these scriptures and say, yes, Moses, that you sent to save the Israelites, he was wounded. Your people were wounded, but you say, I've got a plan. I got a promised land on the other side. And the whole world is going to see me through this. And they are going to know that I am Yahweh. I am the God of Abraham. God, allow us to take this, leave the baggage here. We don't want it anymore. To trust you and walk this journey of faith so that every single person we meet and we see will say, what is so different about your life? Because I want that too. May we be that. May we be the salt and the light of this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, we're going to take communion because Jesus was wounded doing what he was called to do. And we need to remember that today. Jesus had the thorns on his head, was whipped, because God said, I need you to go and take the sins of the world. And so Jesus said yes, and he was wounded for us. So we're going to remember that today. Will you please stand and come forward, and we'll take the elements, and then we'll sit together and take them together. Jan and Terry are going to prepare those for us. From Matthew, because Jesus was sitting at the table with his disciples, knowing that he was called to something bigger. He was called to step into a space that was difficult. And he sat with Judas, the one who would give him to the hands of his enemy. And yet he washed his feet and he loved him. He sat with Peter, who would deny him 3 times. He sat with a table of disciples that were worried more about who was greater than what Jesus was about ready to do. Man, that's tough. His friends, the people that he loved, he was wounded even then among his disciples, besides the physical part of what he would go through. Matthew 26, 26 through 29. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. And then he took the cup, and when they had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. This is the bread. It represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his obedience, he was wounded on a cross. And we're reminded today it was broken for us to preserve us all blameless unto everlasting life. Please eat in remembrance that Christ died for you. This is the blood, the fruit of the vine. It represents the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was wounded by the shedding of his blood, shed for you and shed for me, to preserve us all blameless unto everlasting life. Please drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you. Dear God, thank you so much for this moment to remember that even you, the Savior of the world, was wounded in obedience to you. Because we live in a broken world. It's not easy. Oftentimes we are called into difficulties, into difficult situations. We can't do them on our own. And the enemy may wound us on our journey, but you are there next to us. You are there with us. You will never leave us or forsake us. And you have a plan, and you want all the goodness for us. So allow our hearts to trust you this week to see where you are moving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, yeah, mercy never fails.
Do you believe today that his goodness is running after you? I love that. He's like, let me give it to you. So drop the heaviness here today. And go find somebody today and say, you know what? This is what I'm dropping. And they're going to be your accountability person. So next week they come back and say, hey, did you drop it? Did you really drop it? Did you drop it for good? And you're going to say, yes, I am free. I am free indeed. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't God good?
All the time.
All the time. Try it again. Isn't God good?
All the time.
God, thank you. Go before us. Go behind us. Lead us. Encourage us. Be our shepherd this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, stick around for some barbecue
Yes.
and sports.
And sports. And go tell somebody that Jesus loves them.